Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 3rd of January, recording at 9:10 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, whatever else will be said about 2007, and I suspect it will be a lot, no one will be able to claim that the year kicked off in the first 2 days of trading without surprises and some drama. So, first, here are the highlights. Now, stock markets in Asia were generally firm. Remember, Tuesday had been such a strong day. And Europe followed through on the same note. And Wall Street, which was closed yesterday, roared in very strong. Dow is up over 110 points at one stage early in the trading, and then lost all of those gains. And it started to lose them in time to peg back the European markets a bit. And Wall Street then moved to the downside. The Dow was down, I think, at least 45 at one stage, but then closed up 11. S&P down a point and a half. NASDAQ composite up on nearly 8. So pretty much closing even, but having retraced the very strong earlier gains, which were a catch-up play on yesterday. Now, elsewhere, plenty of drama elsewhere. See, I think probably the least of the dramatic stories were in bonds. Interesting, I see the U.S. long-dated bonds actually closed with small gains. Europeans had losses, small losses. But the bigger story starts with the dollar, and this was important, because the dollar was quite weak yesterday, and I pointed that out on a number of charts that I posted. Or I think I posted three charts in the Today's Interesting Charts section, and pointed out that they would need countermanding dynamics to offset further strength in the dollar. Well, countermanding dynamics is certainly what we got in here today. Following the euro, for example, moving up to 132.73, it then got thumped, falling down to 131.47, and currently trading at 131.62. That's down 110 points or ticks. And we saw similar action in the others. Cable, for instance, showing a modest gain early in the day, 197.51, falling back to 194.83, currently at 195.02. So, again, say countermanding downward dynamics here today. More on that in a moment. But that had a big effect on precious metals. I only caught the beginning of that because I think I'd mentioned in yesterday's audio that I would, due to a necessary detour, would get into the market get into the office quite late today, and I didn't really arrive in the office till about 4 o'clock, and the dollar was unraveling, and that gave a slightly delayed hit, big hit to the precious metals, which were certainly sliding from the day's highs when I got in. And so silver, I think March silver, which at one stage had been up, I think around, don't hold me to the precise point, but I think it had been up around 1328 at one stage, or 1324 at least, and currently is trading at 1266, beg your pardon, 1262. So yes, 1328 to 1262. So it took a very big hit in here today, big downward dynamic. Gold also, gold bullion got up to 645.25 in early trading, and then fell back $20, and is currently from that high, and is currently at 627.60. That's down nearly $13 on the day. Platinum was a bit lower, 7.8, but held up reasonably well in comparison. And palladium gave up strong early gains, got up to 350 at one stage, but managed to close up $1.10 at 339.60 on that's the March contract. So, pretty dramatic stuff here. And another big influence on well, maybe not that big an influence. Dollar was the big influence on the precious metals, but also an influence, and not just on precious metals, was the oil price. Now, this got thumped in here today, and this will certainly revive views that this is not support building and is going to accommodate all those people who've been talking about going below 55, which is the reaction low. And on its way back down into the $40 region. Crude oil currently trading at 58.18. That's down 2.87. That's the NYMEX crude. Now that nailed a number of the other commodity markets, including the grain and bean complex. They were hit fairly hard in here today. I see coffee and cocoa were also hit hard. So pretty well, dollar rallying, oil weak, that caused some real selling pressure. But some of them then recovered a bit. For instance, I see that some of the industrial metals, and they were a soft spot yesterday. And a few of them were down. Again, copper had a big decline. Copper's decline is actually accelerating somewhat. The January, or beg your pardon, the March contract for COMEX copper is trading at 266. That's down 21. But the metals like nickel sold off not in a big way early in the day. Zinc sold off fairly sharply, but both of those closed up on the day. And I think we also had some others closing up on the day. Yes, lead also closed up on the day after a very sharp early sell-off. So, drama, volatility, nervousness, disagreement, and possibly still some fairly thin trading conditions contributing to this volatility. Volatility is certainly picking up. Okay, well, what do we make of it all? First, let's go back to stock markets. Now, overall, I don't think today's action changes anything in terms of the big story, which has been pretty good overall. Yes, a number of people are nervous, but the trends remain generally intact. We haven't seen any major deterioration in the stock market. In the stock market trends, but you look at some of the leaders, and they're just too good to be true. For instance, the Hong Kong H shares, where I've been lucky to have a long position. The move is mind-boggling. In October, this was selling at 7,500. Now it's approaching 11,000. So just phenomenal, phenomenal moves by some of these markets, and where they are going parabolic like that, we know that that can't really go on for much further. So I have, just in case anybody has similar positions, I have jammed my stop right up. I expect to be stopped out tomorrow because that market has been closing on pretty well near the highs every single day. And it closed not with a big tail, but a little off the highs. And then with Wall Street not maintaining its gains, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the H shares weren't rattled by that. But at any rate, I jam the stop up because so often when the strongest market, on the day the strongest market in the world, and that's certainly been the H shares recently, partly because the Shanghai A shares have been closed, markets in China have been closed. So this is the H shares index trading out of Hong Kong. But the point, veteran subscribers will have heard me say on a number of occasions, and I usually get it in during the chart seminar, is that with accelerating trends, the strongest market in the world will turn into the biggest wimp overnight when the momentum ceases. And that's the risk with some of these. That doesn't mean that H shares aren't a great story for the longer term, but this is clearly an unsustainable move on the upside. So as I say, I jammed my my stop right up, and expect to. I'll be very surprised if I don't get hoiked out in early trading tomorrow. Now, so again, I think one ought to be prepared for a bit of volatility in here. But if we say what's changed in terms of the big picture, well, nothing. The dollar is not becoming a crisis. We do not have a crisis of oil strength. Rather the opposite. This is bullish. We do not have a crisis in terms of government bond yields, but something goes wrong at some point. And I'm talking about more than just nervous investors and a bit of volatility, which goes with the territory. The softer oil price I have described in the past as being a tailwind for the global economy. So I think it helps to cushion the downward risk in the U.S. and it helps to cushion downward risk for the talking about the U.S. economy, of course, right? Still expect a soft landing. And it helps to cushion the downside in, say, China and India in terms of economic activity. And there has been much talk recently, particularly regarding India, that those economies have been overheating. Now, I take all that with a grain of salt, and I posted a very bearish article that was sent to me. It was an intelligently written article, but I can remember a number of very intelligently written articles on China over the last 4 or 5 years, or intelligent sounding, saying that a hard landing was imminent. Well, it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and these people in the position of the little boy who called wolf, if you know that fable, eventually gave up, and then the wolf appeared. And but what's happened is that a number of these people, at any rate, have turned their spotlight onto India, saying that a hard landing is imminent. Well, I don't believe it. India will have a hard landing at some stage, and no doubt China will. Recessions do occur from time to time, not as often as they have in the past, partly because of a high degree of liquidity that's been floating around in the system, partly because of globalization. I don't want to digress on that too much, but the only point I'm trying to make is that, sure, there will be recessions from time to time, although they're fairly infrequent. People are looking over their shoulders pretty much every month of the year, trying to spot the next one, but they don't occur anywhere near as often as they are actually forecast. Similar, so we can say the same thing about bear markets. And I do not see the makings of a bear market here right now, and not least because there's three factors that I mentioned. The dollar is not collapsing, the oil price is not soaring, and most importantly, the government bond yields are not going through the roof. And all that's going to change at some stage, but I'm not going to be in too much anxiety overall until it actually does. But we should expect some sharpish reactions from time to time. But at this stage, I'm not even looking for I hope I'm not being complacent. I don't feel I am, given the evidence that I see. But I'm not at this stage looking for a sharp medium-term correction. On the other hand, if we get, as I've said before, if we get a good first quarter, then really from April onwards, I will be getting a bit antsy in terms of the next correction. Why April? Given the sell in May, go away, and so on. Well, everybody, every warm body in the stock markets was reminded in 2006 that May could be a dangerous month, or was a seasonally the commencement of a seasonally unfavorable period. So don't be too surprised if some people start selling in April in anticipation of that, provided we get a strong first quarter. But there's a lot that's going to happen between now and the end of first quarter. At this stage, all I expect is a bit more volatility, and I'll stay with that view pretty much until I see some significant deterioration in these technical patterns for stock market indices, and particularly the technical pattern for Wall Street. Okay, moving on to the dollar. I really did think that we were going to see the dollar move down quite sharply when I commented on it yesterday. But remember, this is where charts are so important, because Owen and I sometimes refer to this as an OMG moment, as in, oh my God, when you think something's going to happen because you see it has been happening, or the chart points very much in one direction, and then the importance of charts, then the very next day you get a sudden dynamic in the opposite direction, which changes the story, certainly in the short term. So given the dollar's strength in here today, I'll describe it in terms not dissimilar to what I used yesterday. We would really need to get the dollar weakening to the same extent that it strengthened today to offset the near-term slightly bullish implications for the dollar. In other words, I think that it's going to range for a while longer, possibly even rally a little bit more before we see it weaken. And that is has put the monkey wrench in the gears as far as the uptrend or a resumption of the uptrend in precious metals, which I assume are going to range for a bit further in here and prove choppy and difficult to deal with on a trading basis. Long-term investors, as I said in my copy today, need not worry about that one iota. From a trading standpoint, it makes it more difficult, particularly when the precious metals have been facing stiff competition from investor and speculative interest from stock markets. So something sort of has to go wrong with the stock markets, or wrong for the dollar in terms of weakness here to really kick precious metals into a very strong phase. I maintain they're all cheap at these levels. I maintain that the patterns show support building, but I've also emphasized in recently that we would need to see gold, and that's the one that most people will take their cue from, although silver is, you know, always going to be high beta gold. But until people see the tangible evidence that gold is appreciating against all currencies, the bull market proper won't be underway once again, and we're going to have to wait a little bit longer for that. And oil prices. Well, I said that this big sell-off in here today will question the support building hypothesis. It can only do that. mean, my feeling is that it's got to take out 55. It's got to break below 55 and stay below it before I will feel, no, I was too optimistic in saying that this was a gradual and perhaps lengthy support building process prior to renewed strength. But you know, at 58, well, it's a lot closer to 55 than it was yesterday, to state the obvious. And I don't want to run on too much in here. Is there anything else to mention? I just did say that copper still the weakest and most vulnerable of the industrial metals, but I'm impressed to see the way lead, zinc, and nickel recovered to close in the plus column after sharp early sell-offs. Someone certainly did some aggressive buying in here today, and I don't think it was short covering. Okay, well, can I stand any more of this high drama in here? Well, we'll see. Meanwhile, roll on tomorrow, and all the best to all of you.